You're listening to Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. Portions of this broadcast have been pre-recorded.
World Generation Podcast Network presents Fatal 4-Way Radio. Starring Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Infected, Peacemaker, Kev Gang West, and the Swami, Christian from Philly. Brought to you in part by Pro Wrestling.
Welcome to Fatal 4-Way Radio. It's great of you to join us as always. I am the resident heel, Minister of Sinister, and I'm sitting here with Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Inspected, Peacemaker Kevier West, and the Swami Christian from Philly, and special guest, Ricky. What's going on, guys? Welcome to the show, guys.
Hey. Yeah.
Happy 316. Yeah.
Very
I like
special day today.
More than May 4th. May 4th is wet.
Oh yeah, we're out of control here.
Well,
the panel is drunk. Yeah.
Two beers.
I would rather
four shots of tequila.
Yeah.
Five taquitos.
I would rather
went to Whataburger. Got cheese.
What?
And then I decided to do a triple the hamburger.
Oh damn.
What?
You crazy?
And then I walked it all down. With some bush.
What?
Happy 316 day. It's not even his birthday, but it is 316 day, and we can all relate that with Stone Cold Steve Austin. And because of that, we're doing tonight freestyle.
I would hear 3 hours of what chants than what than this WrestleMania season.
Fair. I love Steve's last appearance on Raw whenever he came out during the COVID era and gave Byron Saxton a stunner, and like Byron came out there and was like, yeah, and he's like looked at him and was like, what? It was just like the best comedian. It was the breath of fresh air during COVID era, for sure.
There was one shirt I wish I would have kept.
It was also extremely awkward.
I had the whole of him like holding his arms up and they turned into rattlesnakes, but I don't know where that shirt went.
Yeah, we talked about that on the show. Yeah. We need to ask Jaime about that, see if he can get one of those rattlesnake shirts.
And Albert Inspected has dropped off the scene suddenly.
Oh, no.
And we shall return, wait on his return. Hopefully he does return. Who knows what's going on there. Welcome back, Albert Inspected. Guys,
what the hell
it
happened?
Was
that the only time?
I have no idea, man. He just suddenly disappeared. I was like, whoa. Usually it's me that disappears. Guys, we've got a hell of a show tonight. We're going to freestyle in the fast lane, 316 style. And having said that, let's get right to the show. Let's get right to the show, guys, with your favorite 316 moment. Christian, since you're so ready to talk, take the bull by the horns, bro. Give us your favorite.
All right.
Austin 316 moment.
My favorite 316 moment is when he kidnapped Scott Hall and he fucking tied his ass up and he hit him inside the freezer and smacked out.
Oh, that's vicious shit.
This was during the NWO. And the week after that was when he got arrested on Raw. And so the next on SmackDown, Stone Cold kidnapped Scott Hall and he hit him in the fucking freezer. And then he beat the shit out of him in the same night, kept saying what throughout the entire segment, and then he beat the dog shit out of him. Made Scott Hall look like a bitch. Made the NWO look like a bitch.
This was pre-corporation, right? Pre-ministry or, I'm sorry, pre-all that shit, right?
No. This was 2002.
Oh, yeah. That post. Definitely post. Yeah, Scott Hall.
So this is This is when WWE was getting bad. 2002 was when it was getting a little bit bad.
Yeah, thank you.
Stone Cold decided to fucking quit. He didn't like... This was during the time where he didn't like the direction where the company was going, and this was like his last feud until he quit, because he didn't like where the company was going, where the direction was.
Took his ball and went home.
Yeah.
Took his ball and went home. Yeah. Well, that was a savage ass moment. And but tell us why it's your favorite moment. Because of the savagery, I imagine.
You know, he kidnapped Scott Hall. And,
yeah. Made him look like a bitch.
I will say because that was a good moment, their fucking WrestleMania match was fucking dog shit. And have any of you guys watched the fucking match? Have any of you guys watched the WrestleMania match against each other, Scott Hall versus Stone Cold? That match was fucking awful.
I was about to say that was the most positive thing I've ever heard you say, and then it went straight negative right when I was going to say positive.
It's funny, right?
Well, we're on WrestleMania season, so it was appropriate because this was their build to their WrestleMania match, and it was fucking awful.
I think to speak to WrestleMania moments, like mine is probably when Steve teamed with Vince, whenever he turned on The Rock in their main event and their second match. And I remember watching that. I was like probably most invested in wrestling at that time. And that was the big deal. That was my two favorite guys in the ring. My most favorite guy to hate, Steve Austin, and then my guy, The Rock. And to see him get turned on, that was just like a big surprise for me.
Wait, you hated Austin?
Yeah, when I was a kid, I was a Mark Rock, or a Rock Mark. I loved The Rock 100%. I didn't want Steve to win. I thought Steve was a straight asshole. But I like him now.
Did you know that because the whole match was at Texas, they thought Vince turned face after that. They thought he turned face when he helped Austin.
Yeah, no, I knew as a kid, like watching, I knew what happened and that The Rock was still the good guy like that. But I think I have heard that before. And yeah, he was like a baby face in Texas for sure, dude. It's like he's a superhero down here.
Yeah, I was probably like in fourth or fifth grade. I always watched wrestling, but it was like fourth or fifth grade, you know, like 90s, like late 90s. And he's who I tuned in to watch. We could go classic and talk about, you know, the Jake the Snake promo or talk about, like, the Bret Hart match. But I think my favorite thing is when he drove the beer truck into the arena and he sprayed everybody down with beer.
That was badass.
Yeah.
That was badass. Now, wait, which time, though? Because he did that twice. He did it with the Miller Lite truck, and then later on he did it with the Rocky Mountain, the Silver Bullet deal.
Anytime he drives a beer truck in, you know someone's going to get sprayed. So.
Oh, yeah.
That was a Zamboni he drove, and he didn't really spray anybody with it. He just jumped on it and just landed on Vince. That was a Zamboni.
I remember the Zamboni. I remember one time him driving a beer truck in.
He sprayed him with beer, and then Kurt parried it and sprayed him with milk.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, that was awful.
We're in Texas. We don't know how to operate Zambonis, man. Stone Cold Steve Austin is probably driving that.
Yeah.
Is that like a Kubota, baby? I got a couple of Kubotas out there on the ranch.
The whole state shut down because of some ice.
Yeah. I don't see Stone Cold with a Zamboni just driving down I-10. You know what I mean? That would have been something to see during the freeze. Here comes Steve Austin to save the fucking day on a goddamn Zamboni.
Was that Ricky interrupting Stone Cold?
No! It was Stone Cold, wasn't it?
My favorite Stone Cold moment.
Sorry about all that.
Yeah, Albert, go ahead with yours, bud.
I was going to talk real quick about the, of course, nobody really mentioned the whole supermarket brawl with Booker T, man. That shit was just completely
Man, that was some
classic.
Great shit. Was that done at HTV?
It's been played out a little. People kind of talk too much about it. That's why.
But you know what?
You mad because he didn't use like a zucchini or something?
Ooh.
Yeah. But besides that, man, like, I loved his debut, you know what I mean? His debut as the ringmaster, not necessarily his original debut in ECW or WCW, but the his ringmaster debut, I really dug it. It was one of those things where it's like you could just see that this guy was going to become something bigger for the WWF. And so I dug that. I dug a lot of his earlier stuff, of course, like Ricky mentioned, the whole Jake the Snake Roberts feud and culminating in the King of the Ring speech or the King of the Ring promo. I mean, just all that stuff, man. It's just classic Stone Cold, dude. And like, it just proves like his mic skill and his ring work is proves that why he's one of the best in the business. And I think he should come back for one more match.
But you know,
I guess we'll see.
But you know, he has one person to thank for all that. There's one person for Stone Cold to thank for his success, and that's Triple H for getting in trouble for Madison Square Garden.
Triple H for what now?
He should thank Triple H, because if it wasn't for Triple H doing the whole Madison Square Garden thing, Triple H would have won the King of the Ring. So he should thank Triple H for his career.
Yeah, sure. The year that happened, the curtain call happened, and Triple H got punished, and no one else did. Triple H was supposed to win.
But whenever he found the character, he wasn't a part of WWF anymore. He was in ECW, right?
Well, he was doing Stone Cold in ECW, but he wasn't called Stone Cold. He was doing that kind of character.
Was he stunning?
But then whenever he debuted him at WWF, he was the ringmaster, and they didn't let him talk like that.
Oh,
but he was stunning Steve Austin before that?
He was stunning Steve Austin back in the day when he was blonde.
Yeah, I remember him stunning Steve Austin.
I remember him. I even watched him live as stunning Steve Austin. And, no, I could not tell that he was going to go on.
He was just a fucking Ric Flair wannabe.
To me, he was just a Ric Flair wannabe back then. And then I remember him as the fucking ringmaster, and I thought that was a bunch of horse shit. That ringmaster was a bunch of garbage. I didn't like it at all. I don't know how you liked it, Albert, but, you know, apparently you liked it cold.
So when he was doing the ECW stuff, was he in WWF too?
No, I'm leading to that, Ricky.
I am leading to that. And then, of course, mega god Stone Cold Steve Austin and shit in WWE. Now, I had no idea that he had been doing that same shit back in ECW. Man, I hate that missed ECW.
It was the same shit, but it wasn't really at the same time because he wasn't drinking beer and all that. He was just cutting promos.
Well, I wouldn't imagine it being at the same time. I would imagine he was under contract.
Creating his character.
He was an angry son of a bitch back then.
Yeah, he was angry that he got fired from WCW.
Oh, so he got fired from WCW, went to ECW, became angry, and then showed up at WWE.
He didn't want to show up to ECW. Paul Heyman gave him a phone call.
Interesting.
Paul gave him a phone call and he asked him to join.
And then
he went. He wasn't wrestling in ECW.
He only did one match when he was in ECW. I think he just cut promos. Paul signed him while he was in,
and he still had that long blonde hair.
His only match was against Mikey Riprack.
And then
he went to WWF and became the ringmaster, and that's it. And then he won the King of the Ring. He became Stone Cold. He feuded with Bret Hart.
He came in with Ted DiBiase.
With the good graces of Mr. McMahon, or do you think he just did that shit on his own?
What? He did it on his own.
If it was Vince's Ray,
he would have been still called the ringmaster. Let's be honest, right?
Oh God!
Because he was with Jim Cornette. Jim Cornette was still in the fucking WWF at the time, and Jim Cornette didn't know that the times were changing, and he still wanted the 1980s to still continue.
Jim Cornette gave Steve that one promo,
Chuck. The way I've always heard it is that they gave Steve that one promo during King of the Ring. They gave him some time, and they didn't know what he was going to say. He cut that famous Stone Cold 316 promo, and after that, he put him in a position where they had to push him at that point. I mean, he was already winning the King of the Ring tournament too, but he put himself over really strong with that promo. And that's
Jake Roberts was walking out with his fucking belt tucked between his legs and shit. And by the way, that Jake Roberts character that he was pushing the Bible and shit, that was a bunch of horse shit too. But it was what it was.
Yeah.
You know, it was what it was. It was basically a
mockery. It's so funny that they pushed that gimmick, that was like a straight up blasphemous gimmick where Steve not only did get crucified and all this other blasphemous shit happened, but that they willingly just like put 316 out there like it was a Bible verse that this dude wrote.
Yeah,
you know, you talk about John 3:16, but Austin 3:16 said, "I just whipped your ass."
The reason why they also pushed Austin was because they had a fucking terrible face of the company, known as Bret the Hitman Hart, who was by far the worst fucking champion. Marketably, the guy
didn't
do fucking shit for the ratings.
But Albert, I wanted to hear from Albert. So, he was about to say something there.
I tell you, all this stuff right there. I mean, that Austin 316, the gimmick. I mean, that was the perfect storm. And if that didn't happen, if Steve Austin was around the 80s, the 70s, or even like the 2000s, I don't think he would have been as over as he was. Mainly because, I mean, look at the perfect storm. Look at the media that was going on at the time. Look at Jerry Springer's. Hot on TV, trash televisions all over the place. I'm not saying Steve Austin's trash. I'm saying that, like, that
he was straight out that character was straight out the fucking
out
trailer below. Park, as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly. And you're looking at that, and then what's happening, like, South Park's about to come out. You're looking, South Park is like, what, 97, 96?
All funny characters. All funny shows and stuff because, you know, when it's true, it's funny.
Yeah, it was that Beavis and Storm. So Steve Austin hit that. Steve Austin just got whipped up in the hurricane of pop culture, dude. And he was good. I'm not saying that he wasn't good.
Oh,
his wrestling, his ability was fucking good.
You know what
he
did,
whipped
guys?
Up in the whole, like, fucking culture storm of the 1990s, dude, and rode the shit out of that, dude. And guess what, man? Made him a goddamn millionaire and one of the.
I'm gonna tell you guys what he did right now. I gotta talk here. What he fucking did right there, he grabbed the fucking brass ring. That's what he fucking did. And I'm so glad I remembered that and you guys triggered that memory right there, the brass fucking ring, because that's exactly what he did. And this is before the proverbial brass ring was even born. I don't think Triple H had already had said that brass ring shit yet. Okay, but that's exactly what Stone Cold did right there. But getting to AEW, yes. And I was listening to the show last week, and Christian, I was listening to you describe the fucking pay-per-view, and I was shocked that I didn't hear you mention they had a fucking brass ring. Get the fuck out of here with that horse shit.
I didn't care.
You didn't care that it was fucking stupid? I mean, come on. It's a fucking dig at Triple H.
I didn't care about the Sonic the Hedgehog ring, okay?
It looked like Sonic.
It
was kind of cool.
To me, it looked like a fucking one of them beach floats that, you know, you.
Well, it's like quit copying them. They changed the match, but still, like, it wasn't exactly like a Money in the Bank. It is. It was really weird, dude. They needed not copy WWE ideas.
They had a literal brass ring. I fucking laughed my ass off. But getting back to Stone Cold.
It was pointless because Scorpio Sky still didn't win the title, so that ladder match was pointless.
Yeah, it was. It was a bunch of horse shit is what it was.
Yeah.
But getting back to Stone Cold, though, he really literally fucking got the brass ring and ran with it right then and there. And they had to push him, much like Daniel Bryan back when, a few years ago when he did his thing. He had everybody
told that
they were holding him back, and I know we're about to argue about this shit.
No. Daniel Bryan's storyline was shit.
Nobody was holding nobody down. It was a work the whole time.
No, that fucking motherfucker had multiple WWE championship opportunities, so his story was not believable at all. Well, fuck him.
So, I think that Albert would agree with me because we've talked about Bryan before. But I think that they're different because I think Steve put himself over, got himself over with that promo and, yeah, with his work and with the character that he had already. But Brian getting over when he did was more about, like, the fans were really behind his character.
Social
media. I don't.
No,
yeah, I don't think
they
weren't
behind him. They weren't behind the guy. They were behind the stupid chant. The chant was over, not fucking Brian.
Daniel Bryan's one of the best wrestlers of all time, in my opinion.
Here's the thing.
And I think that his part, whenever he was over, it was because people recognized that he was the best wrestler in the world.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm getting. Hold on 1 second. When you look at his time in, like, Ring of Honor and the independence even before that, Daniel Bryan, his character, I mean, in general, was just he's just a very likable guy, and it comes off on screen as well. So, I mean, he just kind of grew that organic fan base that moved from, like, those hardcore smarks, those hardcore indie wrestling fans. It just kind of grew from the hardcore indie wrestling fans into, like, fucking a mainstream wrestling fan, like little kids that just like Daniel Bryan, you know what I mean? Because it just grew from that. It was like an organic thing he had, you know?
No.
They built Brian a lot longer. They built Brian's character more than they built Steve's. So Steve, I think with Steve's different because he, like, came in and was there for a short while and then cut that promo and took off.
Well, Steve, I would argue, or not even, I don't even think it's an argument. I think whenever the fans got completely behind him was the Bret Hart match, whenever he just, like, passed out and he was the bloody in the face. Like, I remember seeing that pay-per-view as a kid. I don't understand why my dad let me watch that. But I got to watch it as a kid, and I was like, hell yeah, dude. Because, like, before that, I was, like, all Ultimate Warrior, you know, like, early 90s stuff. And then I saw that.
It looked like real fight.
And it was, like, real stuff. Yeah. And it was, like, a heel comes in. Bret really wasn't heel, and then it was, like, the whole storyline mode.
Double Team.
Yeah. It was great. It was great. And then every time I'll to watch on Raw for him to come on.
It's because everybody hated Bret Hart because he was a fucking terrible champion. That's why.
I never liked that guy, man.
Fuck. He was a good heel.
Well, when you're a kid, you don't really think about that kind of stuff, you know? Like,
he was real cool to the kids back then, man.
Dude, Bret Hart was fucking boring. He was fucking boring as fuck, bro.
He was boring to you, Christian, because you had outgrown Bret. You came post Bret Hart. Let's go to the phone lines. 310. Welcome to Fatal 4-Way Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. It's me. It's me. It's Hollywood. Tony P. President of the United States.
Oh, wow. Welcome to the show. Yeah. Damn, do we have applause for Hollywood? Where the hell is this producer? Damn. Hollywood.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
What's going on, Hollywood? Tell us about it.
Nothing. I'm just, we're going to have a new show on your network, so I'm coming to plug that. Of course, I got one vote, so, you know, I'm president now, and it's great, because being president of the United States, it's a huge responsibility. But, as I said in my platform, I'm a job candidate, so all my wrestlers do jobs. All of them.
Yes.
So.
All of them.
That's what I've been up to. Yeah.
Nice. They all do jobs. They're doing their part.
All of
them. They're doing their part. Yes. Yes. So. What else can you tell us over there, Mr. P?
Well, what else I could tell you is, first of all, we're going to do a show on your network. It's the Party Cast. So that'll be cool. And so if you want a party, can you play it? Party.
Oh, yeah. Party. Let me start that again. Talk over it right now, baby.
The best.
It's the party podcast.
It's the party. It's the East Coast party cast with. It's still going. East Coast Party Cast with Hollywood Tony P and Javi C on the World Generation Podcast Network. How are you doing, everybody? JD and who else? Salazar is there, I'm sure. And everybody
yes.
else. And I haven't watched wrestling in like a year and a half, so I'll shut up now and listen to you guys talk.
Hey, brother. Welcome to the show, man. We'll fill you in if you want. And you can hang out with us. And, you know, you can, of course, exit if you choose. At any time.
Well, like I said, I haven't seen WWE or AEW. I kind of know what's going on, so this could be very interesting. I have a very outsider take on it.
I love it.
Real quick, we were
one way or another. It's either going to be dog shit or it's not.
we were discussing Stone Cold Steve Austin because it is 316. So, do you have any memorable Steve Austin moments? Were you a fan during his era?
Oh, yeah, of course. Like, I love Stone Cold and everything he did except his heel turn, which was a mistake, and I'm sure he, you know, he acknowledged that too. And nowadays, I just enjoy that he's doing everything else. I do hope that he would maybe wrestle one more time, but does he need to? No.
Yeah.
No.
I agree. Yeah, he gets to do a thunder every once in a while. Do you guys think, like, let's get a vote, but, like, do you guys really think that Kevin Owens does a good stunner, or do they need to just not let people do the stunner as a finisher?
I don't know. I think he does do a good stunner compared to Jeff Hardy, because I think Jeff Hardy doesn't mean to do the stunner, but he does.
Yeah, Jeff's an accident.
Yes. Kevin Owens does do a great stunner.
Yeah, but I mean, isn't it one of those moves where it's like the tombstone, right? I mean, you're gonna wanna. I mean, everybody's gonna compare it, but every move is stolen, right? Like the because now the DDT is everybody's doing it. Everybody does the super kick. It used to be a finisher,
right?
Yeah, and stunners do get done offhand. You see stunners usually at like indie shows. Stunners are booked pretty strong. If somebody gets a stunner at an indie show that I've seen. It's like a close kick out, if anything.
I expect Baron Corbin to be doing the tombstone, much to Christian from Philly's chagrin. Any day.
I think Nia Jax should adopt the tombstone power driver.
Nia Jax should get fired.
Of course she should. No, but Nia Jax is looking good. She's been looking real good.
No, Nia's been. What is. So Christian called me. You called me the other day about these two, right? They what happened with Shayna and Nia?
Yeah, Nia's probably apparently teaching Shayna how to injure people now, because she gave Asuka a fucking concussion, and now you know she's back. You know she deserves to get her ass kicked, but you know to each his own. Nia's teaching Shayna how to injure people now, and now they're the two most unsafest bitches in the roster. I think they both should be let go. No, listen. No. They should both be let go because of two reasons. One, Nia's fucking unsafe as fuck. She's never going to learn. And two, Shayna Baszler is just fucking boring. I'm sorry.
She was
the most boringest bitch I've ever seen.
But Nia Jax was groping freaking Reginald on TV the other day.
This gimmick was funny.
I
thought this gimmick was funny. When they did the dress-up thing and... They like did like a little dress up and they're watching him change outfits. They need to do that more with different wrestlers.
I'm sick of this guy because he's ruining the build between Banks and Belair. He's ruining the build.
Reginald layers. He brings so much fucking flavor to it.
He shouldn't be involved. He shouldn't be involved to begin with.
Whenever this guy got fired, he went straight to Sasha Banks. He went straight to her office and knocked on the door, and she just slammed the door. I thought that was so funny.
It makes no sense. Her and Carmella wasn't even together for like, what, a few weeks, and she's already fired the fucking guy. What good is he then?
You're killing the buzz, Christian. You're killing the buzz. Let's go to Hollywood. What are your thoughts on Nia Jax? And you don't even know who Reginald
Well, he
is,
hasn't been watching. He might not know her.
Yeah, you don't know. No, he knows Nia Jax.
I do know Nia Jax, and I was going to say that Shayna Baszler and Ruby Riott, because they should form a team of the ugliest women alive. And now I know that Ruby Riott came back and she has a different look, and now she looks even worse than she used to look, right? Like,
oh,
they
should all just, you know, kick the bucket.
Why are you firing people?
I fire Ruby Riott, I fire Nia.
They got mouths between the dogs. They deserved it. They could all get reworked.
Oh, my gosh.
But I feel bad for Nia Jax. If she and Shayna are injuring people, they have receipts coming to them. And so at a house show, Nia's going to get clocked upside the head, and Shayna's going to get kicked in her balls. So, you know.
Hey, it works out in the end. I'm sure they can work it out.
Albert.
Let's go to Albert Inspected and see what he thinks.
I have no idea. I don't know anything. I didn't watch Monday Night Raw today. So I'm just going to have to stay out on this one, okay? Thanks. But if they, I don't know.
Ricky.
Yes, sir.
Do you like
any
that?
Thoughts on Nia Jax?
You get fired. You're firing Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler, and Ruby.
I'm just firing Nia and Ruby.
Okay.
Oh.
Whenever I saw Ruby for the first time, I was like, damn, dude, Ronda Rousey, like, went down the pooper.
Oh, no. They're cool. They should have been a faction. They should have capitalized then. They had a bunch of MMA chicks, and they could have started a badass women's faction right then.
Do you know what I think of that? I'm watching my cat take a shit right now. That's what I think of that. I'd rather watch my cat take a shit. That's far more interesting than... It doesn't sound like the wrestling, women's wrestling has gotten any better in the year and a half or so that I've been gone.
Oh, but you've missed the rise of, what's that chick, Christian, the one in gold? The one that wears gold? Yeah, you know, the one that wears Mandy Rose? No, not Mandy Rose, maybe the other one. One of the two. I don't know which one.
AEW has Abaddon. And Abaddon is a Colorado local who wrestled on the indie scene over here. Everybody knows Abaddon. I have not seen AEW either, but I know
he's
Abaddon.
Not Thunder Rosa.
He's not on TV anymore.
I know Thunder Rosa, too. She wrestles here all the time.
Yeah.
She's not on TV anymore, so...
Oh, I got a scoop. Okay, so Thunder Rosa has been signed. She has been signed because we were trying to get her to see if she would be available for dates, and she's running out her last few indie dates, and now she is signed. So she cannot work independent dates.
Wow.
So,
yeah, well,
last week, NWA Power has been sharing videos. And NWA Power shows Thunder Rosa all in their promos for their upcoming debut on the 23rd, I think, is going to be.
After the pay-per-view? Hmm.
So, yeah, wherever she's at, whatever she's doing, she's signed to it. So whatever she's doing, there's your scoop. Also, I have another so when the pandemic happened, I talked to Manny Lemons over there at Devotion, who works with Vince Russo, and I told him flat out, I was like, you know how we fix this no crowd? You put screens in the audience, and you put people on them, right? And so Russo got it to everyone else, and you can thank me for the Thunderdome. With my applause.
And there you
Where's
go.
My party? Party!
Hollywood. Thanks, Hollywood Tony G, for the Thunderdome. And, of course, you can check him out. The Party Podcast, East Coast Party Podcast with Hollywood
The
Tony
East Coast
G.
Party Cast, yep.
Yeah,
and we're going to talk
G
about
and
everything.
Hobby C. Yeah, what are you guys going to talk about? Fill me in on that.
Here, lower that music. Turn it down a little. So J. Cruz, Javier Cruz, and I are going to just be talking about everything. Because I'm from Brooklyn. He's from Boston, right? Massachusetts. So you got the East Coast Party Cast. He's he's Puerto Rican, and I'm a freaking. And there you go. Together, we're going to make a World Generation Podcast Network history. Is it still the World Generation Podcast? Is it World Generation Net? What is it? What's the website,
it's
Minister?
It's World Generation Podcast Network, as it has always been. But the party cast. The date is coming soon on that, to be determined, much like some of the other ones on here. You know, we have quite a few shows that are scheduled to start, but have never really started.
Crash Down, an Albert Section, coming soon, only on World Generation Podcast Network.
And those guys apparently paid for their commercial time and ran out of money on the budget. So, but we'll see. We'll see. Maybe one day they'll get that one going. Getting back to the wrestling. Let's see. So we were at it's Stone Cold Steve Austin Day. It's Stone Cold
what?
Steve Austin Day.
Yeah.
We're talking about our favorite moments. And I never told you guys my favorite moment. My favorite moment, I mean, you know, there's the – I really enjoyed the one where he destroyed the Corvette with the ice. I mean, with
concrete.
You know,
concrete.
But my favorite one of all time, though, was when he freaking when he attacked Vince McMahon in the hospital, calling. You know,
oh, with the bedpan.
That was the best, with the bedpan and shit. Oh, man. And then he was stomping him, too, while he was on the ground. And he wasn't holding back, either. He was stomping the shit out of him. I mean, not really with all his weight and stuff, but, you know, he was doing it enough to make it look real. And the old man was taking it like a champ still at however old he was then. So, yeah, that was my favorite moment between them. And then, of course, there was the another favorite moment, and that was right here in Houston, at the Toyota Center, when the very own Vincent Kennedy McMahon inducted Stone Cold Steve Austin into the Hall of Fame, and I was in the nosebleed. So those are some great Stone Cold Steve Austin moments. And we're going to take a break right now, and we come back. Tony, are you still going to be with us, or do we need to cut you out right now?
No, I want to know what's going on in WWE. You guys got to explain it to me, because I stopped watching because it's awful, right? I can't remember the last time, but it's because it was terrible, and I don't know if it got any better, and the pandemic happened. And I tried to watch a little bit of wrestling with no crowd, and it just really hurt. And then I thought about the IWC, and I was like, why don't they just pump in crowd noise? And now they're doing it because we did it first. So there you go.
Yeah, we've been doing a lot of things first. So many things. What was the name of your – we'll just do this one for you. Yeah, we'll do this one. For Tony P, we'll be right back. Hollywood, Tony P.
Rising from the depths of oblivion, materializing out of the ether, lost, found, the greatest talk show that will ever be. Return to the World Generation Podcast Network. Stay tuned for more.
You want to see something really scary?
You want to see something really scary?
Friendly Fire Cigars. Come on in and enjoy the game. Come on in and relax with friends. Come on in and light them up at Friendly Fire Cigars, where they carry top brands such as Arturo Puente, VAO, Romeo and Julieta, Avo, Monte Cristo, Ashton, and many, many more. Friendly Fire Cigars, where they have amenities such as comfortable leather seating, 4 HDTVs with 4 separate cable receivers, Netflix, Wi-Fi, cigar locker rental, patio seating, and much, much more. Where do you want to go? Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire Cigars. 1905 South Derry Ashford. Friendly Fire Cigars. Get there.
You're listening to the World Generation Podcast Network. Please like us on Facebook at World Generation or on Twitter at World Generation Podcast. And now back to the show.
Right on. We're back with Hollywood Tony P sitting in. And also Ricky and Rancho Punk Rocker Albert Inspected. Of course, Peacemaker Kevier West and the Swami Christian from Philly. And we're having a regular Tuesday night conversation about wrestling. So guys.
Yeah, wrestling.
You know, we're gonna resume right now because I was gonna go on with the normal birthdays and the and the normal This Day in Wrestling History, which we will get to the This Day in Wrestling History for sure later on. But I'd like Christian to talk about what's going on in wrestling right now.
Yeah,
just
Tony,
catch up Hollywood on it.
Yeah, for Tony because he wants to know what's happening.
We'll catch up Hollywood on what's going on in Monday Night Raw and, of course, SmackDown.
Yeah. So, we're going to start on SmackDown first. We're going to start on Monday Night Raw first. So, Tony, you remember Braun Strowman, right?
He's bald now, right?
Yeah, not only that he's bald, yeah. You remember how over he was in 2017, right? You know, he was like the over monster ever, right? Right?
Yeah.
Remember
how
great he was, right? Well, guess what? Now he's a fucking clown. Now he's a fucking clown. And he's now a fucking schmuck. He's the biggest schmuck. He's more of a clown than Bray Wyatt and Big Show combined now. Because last night, what they did to him was a fucking disgrace. Last night, they've had him get his ass kicked by Shane McMahon, and then afterwards he gets humiliated by being poured by green fucking slime all over him. This is a grown man getting beat up by a 55-year-old small man. The fucking monster among men, the same guy that beat the shit out of Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, and Kane, and beat Goldberg at WrestleMania, gets his ass kicked by Shane McMahon. What?
How did that happen though? What happened before? How did Shane sneak up on him? There's no way Shane just came in.
Nothing. The fucking shit started where Shane was calling him stupid, and then there was literally no lie, a fucking jumping jacks or whatever hopscotch on ringside, and Shane McMahon was doing hopscotch on the fucking ringside, and then Braun Strowman got angry. And then they were running around the ring, and then Shane hits him with a camera, like a film crew camera.
He outsmarted him.
Shane.
Oh, well, there you go. That's believable. If you got – hey, JD, the last time you got hit by a TV camera, how did it feel?
No,
JD?
That's not who's JD?
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
JD and maybe you're thinking of
He reminds me of JD. Okay.
Yeah, I know.
No, but
I'm
high and I keep hearing "however's," but now
that's
it's something
cool.
Different.
No.
Sorry, Christian.
However,
Swami.
Like,
sorry, Swami. Swami.
But no, that's fine. But still,
Swami,
it's fucking garbage.
Above this land, Swami. Come on, you wanna.
No, but still, like, you have to wonder, like, personally, you have to wonder, like, he's saying, what the fuck is this shit, man? Like, you have to wonder,
bro,
Braun Strowman. I don't know him personally, but you have to think, like, the person
is, they're setting him up. He's going to beat down Shane McMahon at WrestleMania. That's what's going on
but
here.
But, dude.
They did it to Daniel Bryan.
Dude,
remember that beating,
dude,
Daniel Bryan put on, or Triple H put on Daniel Bryan in San Antonio,
dude,
no less.
But dude, they're not even waiting for WrestleMania yet. They're doing it this Sunday too. He's facing Shane.
But see, so they're gonna overdo it. But you have to understand, at WrestleMania, Shane McMahon wrestles big names. He's wrestled The Undertaker, right? He's wrestled big name people. So it would go to show that hey, Braun Strowman's in the same boat as The Undertaker, as The Miz, the Great One, you know.
Yeah.
Shane McMahon has grown up in the wrestling business, and I'm surprised nobody. I mean, I'm not talking shit about Shane McMahon. I like Shane McMahon, but it seems as though, like, okay, yeah, he's grown up in the wrestling business. Yeah, he's been probably bumping since he's fucking in diapers. You know what I mean? Running around the ring with Macho Man and Andre the Giant. But come on, man. Like, I agree with Tony about this. That it's not a demotion for Braun Strowman. But at the same time, it's like Shane just kind of, like, inserts himself into these matches. That's why he's always kind of had big, high-profile matches with all these stars. You know what I mean?
I think
it's just like
he's marking out, you know, and living vicariously. Well, through himself, actually.
What is his rating on the new WWE game? What is Shane's rating? Because I would say he's up there with he would put himself because he's a legend, right? He's a legend. He's kind of big. He's the boss's son. He's been in high profile matches. He's won things. I don't know if he's been a title holder that often, but you know, he's Shane McMahon. So, you know, I don't like it. I think that, you know, he should go against somebody who beating him would make them, you know, some little nobody.
Shane has like kayfabe behind him. Shane fought Big Show before too. Shane jumped off the Titantron and jumped on the Big Show. It's not the first rodeo with a big guy like Braun. Whenever they're fighting, like, Shane does look like a hoss. And I remember, like, kind of how Albert was starting to touch on it, but, like, I mean, Shane has been wrestling forever, and the guy's fit. Like, if he'd have come back and been a full-time wrestler and booked him a little different, it would have been badass. Because Shane is super athletic. And so he hits him with an elbow drop.
He was doing with the Mean Street Posse. That was the best shit I thought.
He's athletic. Everything he does looks good. He sells good. But he is working out for himself too, kind of. And for Strowman to be in this position is sad, because Strowman should be still. I think they could have booked him stronger and been main event still.
His overall rating is 81, so he's not even that good.
Yeah.
Well, let me also tell you this. Then, from what I'm hearing, I could see that since Shane hasn't really beaten anybody at WrestleMania, I would say he beats Braun Strowman, right? Why not?
No, he didn't. He beat The Miz.
Okay, but he beat nobody, all right? So he beats Braun Strowman. I'm just kidding. I like The Miz. I like The Miz. Hey, Christian, give me a however. Give me like two or three howevers, please.
However.
No, so what happened? Speaking of The Miz, he's one of the worst WWE champions of all time, by the way. You missed that. He won the WWE title for the second time. And then he lost it the next week on Raw, so he didn't even hold the title that long. He only held it for like 1 week. So,
but listen,
yeah,
he's
so
in a elite. He's a two-time champion now. The list of two-time world champions in WWE is very limited. And yes, he's a two-time Grand Slam champion. You want to talk about how Shane McMahon has had some high-profile matches? Number one, number two, Miz is not only carrying the WWE, but he's also carrying the USA Network with his show Miz and Mrs. On the third great season, you got to tune in on USA on whatever night it's on.
He's legit ruining Raw.
He is one of the worst factors.
Well, let me tell you something.
Two-time Grand Slam. Who can do that? Who says that? Who's another two-time Grand Slam champion?
He is a two-time Grand Slam champion, and I have always liked The Miz. But let me tell you something.
That fucking chair shot on
Bad Bunny last night was atrocious, and shame on Bad Bunny. I don't know how that happened. If Miz had to pull back on it or what the hell, but if that was the case, shame on Bad Bunny for not telling him, go ahead, crack that fucking guitar on my back.
Hear me out. I just had
you're
an
on
idea.
TV.
What if the roles were switched, and what if it was Miz versus Shane McMahon? And Braun versus Damian Priest and Bad Bunny. Or what if it was even better? What if it was Shane McMahon versus Damian Priest and Bad Bunny versus Braun and The Miz? That would those would both be better storylines than what they've given us, I think.
I don't understand. So they brought back the Bunny and turned him heel. He was with Adam Rose, right? So the Bunny is now a bad Bunny.
Different Bunny.
It could be actually the same person. So you know, fuck bad bunny. Also,
that's a better storyline then. If that's not that, what is it? Because
I was excited.
I was like, the Bunny came back, the rabbit, you know, and now he's bad and kicking people's ass. I'd watch that.
Yeah, I like it.
That would have been better too. Tell them what happened with R-Truth and Bad Bunny, buddy. Tell them about R-Truth and Bad Bunny's negotiation.
Yeah, they ruined the 24/7 title. So what happens is Bad Bunny, R-Truth.
They ruined it. They bastardized the 24/7 title.
No, they shouldn't have put the fucking belt on the fucking guy in the first place because it was terrible. So he didn't even fucking promote WWE at all during his tenure. So I don't know what the fuck they gave him the title in the first place. So anyway, R-Truth from
he had
Bad
to drop
Bunny,
that title then, so that he could proceed with his feud against The Miz.
Okay, so then don't give him the title in the first place then.
They had to give him the credibility and shit.
Listen to what happened, Chuck, with R-Truth?
No, I have not seen that.
There's no credibility. How could there be credibility when the guy can't take a fucking guitar shot right? So there's no credibility.
We don't know what happened there yet. But tell me about what happened there, Kevier, with the R-Truth incident.
That's what Christian was saying. Go ahead and finish what you were saying, Christian.
R-Truth was asking Bad Bunny for the title, and then Bad Bunny fucking gave him back the title. That's it. Nothing, no payoff.
R-Truth gave him some gifts. It was for Stone Cold Day, and so he gave him like a little Stone Cold doll, and he gave him a Steve Austin Smoking Skull Championship belt.
So in the end, he was more of a smart for Stone Cold Steve Austin than he was for, having the title.
So the Bunny didn't give him the title. He gave him a fake title. He gave him a Stone Cold replica title.
R-Truth gave Bad Bunny the gift. I don't care.
I see a guy in a bunny outfit. Here's a present. And it's your title back. It's the 24/7 title.
Easter,
he opens it and it's
Easter's
the fucking... It's the spinner belt from 1990, whatever. And he's like,
After it's all said and done, whenever Easter rolls around, we're going to see the return of Bad Bunny advertised on Monday Night Raw, and R-Truth's going to come out in the old fucking bunny costume and be like, oh, sorry, my bad, y'all.
Hopefully.
He didn't even work. he didn't even wear the smoking skull belt outside to the Raw to the ring. So that was pointless, that segment.
How many times has R-Truth had it now? He was at like what? 10 last I looked?
I lost count. No, I've lost count. Around 27.
He's
got to
be the most decorated champion of all time.
Yeah. I've lost count.
No, that's The Miz. So. The Miz is the most decorated champion of all time.
Yeah, you're right. Indeed.
Thank you. No, let's not talk about The Miz. Fuck The Miz. The guy's
The Miz.
Anyway.
You know what? No, The Miz is great. And you know what? Who's going to go in 10 years, the fucking Miz is going to be like the main inductee for like the Hall of Fame. He's going to be the head of the fucking Hall of Fame. I guarantee it. And they're going to name down all these fucking accomplishments, and you know what? They're going to fucking play. This guy's a two-time world champion, a two-time Grand Slam champion. Miz, baby. Miz is awesome.
Yeah. Boy, anyway.
Yeah,
yeah.
The
no,
Miz is
no,
awesome.
No. Tell me about Roman Reigns. I heard he's heel now. How is he a heel? Is he a good heel? How did he turn? What happened?
No,
I missed that.
He's not a good heel. He's not a good heel. He's the most boringest fucking heel ever. Everybody says this guy's a turn fucking heel. It's all a bunch of shit. This guy still can't cut a promo to save his fucking life. He's fucking boring, Tony. He's one of the most boringest fucking heels ever.
And you can
What did Brian say in his promo, Christian? I remember, what did Brian say to get him riled up? I was trying to think of what it was.
I tapped out Jey Uso. I made him quit. That's what really got him riled up, really? See how fucking terrible this fucking
guy is? He said he called Roman a coward in so many words or something like that. He said that Roman, he attacked his manhood a little bit. And Roman was like, oh, really? I'm going to sign it now.
Why does he fucking care? See how fucking terrible he is. He's fucking stupid. Why should he care of people calling him a fucking coward? He shouldn't give a fuck.
And that's how he turned heel? That's how he turned heel?
This is how he turned heel. He came back at SummerSlam. He spears the Fiend. And then he joins Paul Heyman. Now, you would think him being with Paul Heyman, that would be fucking great. Paul doesn't do fucking anything, Tony. Paul just stands around and he doesn't even cut promos. Paul Heyman doesn't say anything. He's just standing there and Roman's doing the fucking talking. So then why the
Paul
fuck support
more,
of Paul Heyman?
Paul is more afraid of Roman than he was of Brock. Paul is like scared of Roman
Which
in a different
no
way.
Sense.
Than he was of Brock.
Which makes no sense.
So,
because
have they been booked as a tag team, Brock and Roman Reigns, to win the tag titles?
No.
Yet?
That would be
no.
Why not?
Brock's not there. No
they
more.
Would.
He
they would destroy.
Brock
they would destroy everybody. They would be unstoppable.
Yeah, but Brock.
See, this is why I don't watch WWE. In like 3 seconds, I can come up with a whole bunch of better shit than I've just heard. And so I don't even, you know, yeah, I might watch it a little bit, but you know, honestly, like I'm not missing anything. Yeah, the pandemic thing, the Money in the Bank was good, but.
I'll catch you over what's happened to Roman. Okay, first match he faces Jey Uso, ends in a fucking like throwing a towel. Fucking terrible. That's a controversial thing. Fucking the first time he wins back the Universal Championship, it's a triple threat match between Braun Strowman and The Fiend and himself. Bro, the motherfucker doesn't come out during the entire match. He comes towards the end and he wins the fucking title. Then, Hell in a Cell I Quit match, right? That's the most convoluted shit of them all. He faces his cousin again. Again, it's controversial because the guy doesn't look fucking strong at all. He chokes out Jimmy Uso for Jey to say, I quit. Then, fucking Kevin Owens, right? He faces Kevin Owens. Again, this motherfucker has to get help. 2-on-1 in a TLC match. So, again, he looks fucking weak. Fucking the worst offender of them all, the Royal Rumble. A fucking great match. Because of a handcuff botch, he has to get help by Paul Heyman to beat fucking Kevin Owens again. And then in a Christmas episode.
It was a handcuff. Whoa. Handcuff box? Please explain.
They couldn't get the key to work to unlock the handcuffs. They were handcuffed to the Tron.
Yeah.
It was, you know what it
was
like,
awful.
Man? It was like when you were little and you would set up the fucking ring and you had your dolls come out and shit and fucking hang out at the prom and shit. They were just like that.
It was awful.
All right, explain that again. I was refilling my bowl. What happened again?
All right, so what happened is Roman gets handcuffed. This is a last man standing match. He gets handcuffed. And then Paul Heyman comes out, and he's trying for five fucking minutes to unhandcuff Roman.
Those little wrestling things that they all use, I forget what they're called, but they're like grates where they hold the lights. Like he got handcuffed to one of those things, and Paul Heyman was supposed to come out with the key, and I don't know, maybe he brought the wrong key or just couldn't reach it because he couldn't fucking open.
No, he had the right key. He just had the wrong keyhole.
Yeah, they couldn't. What I read was that they couldn't like get the right angle. Like they were upside down, so he couldn't put the key in there or some shit.
But then what happened? Keep going. What happened? Okay.
It's the stupidest part because this is a last man standing match, and this motherfucker is down for five fucking minutes, and the ref is next to him, and he's not fucking counting Roman. Already the match is ruined. Because the ref is just staring at him. He knows the guy is fucking down for more than fucking 10 seconds. But he's not counting. And this takes five fucking minutes. And then Roman looks like a fucking idiot. Then comes the SmackDown Steel Cage match on Christmas. Where he sees his
No, you missed. There's a whole lot. Okay, let's go back. Okay, he gets unhandcuffed. How does he get unhandcuffed? How does that happen?
They finally get the key
Paul,
in.
They do get finally after 5 minutes.
Yeah, they do get the key.
And then what?
Paul
and then how does he win? Who does he beat?
Nothing.
He beats
Kevin Owens with a guillotine chokehold, and Kevin Owens loses.
Yeah, he chokes him out after he gets on handcuffs. But the whole portion where he's handcuffed, you got to watch it. You got to look up a clip of it, man. But yeah, it's like very awkward, and they don't explain it. And they hide it in the replays, you know what I'm saying? They don't let you know that happened.
So during the same night, Edge wins the Royal Rumble. Yes, you heard me right. Edge wins the Royal Rumble, and he's choosing Roman to face at WrestleMania now. So we go to SmackDown for the Christmas episode, and we get Kevin Owens versus Roman again in a steel cage match. And again, this fucker needs to get help again. Because Kevin Owens is handcuffed to the steel cage and he walks out, making him look fucking weak. This guy looks fucking weak. Like, Roman's supposed to be this big fucking tough Samoan and he has to get help by fucking Jey Uso and Paul Heyman every fucking match. And he looks weak.
I like the fact that Edge is going against Roman Reigns. I like that. Why would they do that though? Because Roman looks really buff and badass. Like it doesn't seem like the right way to go with that. But you brought up somebody else, and I want to know the Fiend. Is he still overpowered? Does he still get 12
man,
chair shots? Is
he got
no,
burned
the
by
the Fiend.
He got burned.
The Fiend got burned alive by Randy. He's feuding with Randy. And then now Alexa Bliss is with Randy.
You can't just say things like that and not explain.
Hey,
you can't be like, hey, he got burned alive anyway. Let's go to the commercial.
That's another clip. That's another clip you really need to look up. You need to look up a clip of the Fiend getting burned.
Well, I'm not going to do it now. Explain it to me. Why is he on fire? Like, this doesn't. It doesn't make any sense. Is he smoking in bed?
Okay,
I don't know.
I'm explaining it. So it was a Firefly Inferno match between Randy Orton and the Fiend at TLC. Randy wins, but he burns a puppet, you know, like a fake doll Fiend to make it look like it was the real guy, you know, for special effects reasons. So he burns the Fiend kayfabe, right? And so for kayfabe reasons, the Fiend's dead. But Alexa Bliss is possessed by Bray Wyatt, and she's been haunting Randy Orton for these past few months, building up Bray's return as the Fiend, because the Fiend kayfabe is in hell. And so he's going to come back from hell and face Randy at WrestleMania.
Randy's throwing up blood. Randy throws up blood every week on Monday Night Raw.
It is fucking obnoxious and it's annoying at this point.
Okay. So, did you say Alexa Bliss has channel, like, oh, shit. Listen, guys, I'm sorry. I know that seems, like, exciting for me, but I don't know any
of
this
shit. Well,
that's what I
mean. So why, not to interrupt, but that's what I mean. When we tell you the story, and, like, I'm always the advocate for this shit, but, like, I think it's, like, pretty entertaining. A lot of these storylines I really think are pretty badass and cool. And we take the piss out of this, but no, I mean, like, a lot of the storylines are good.
How did he just came to her? So you guys expect him to come back from hell. So how it exists in the WWE universe?
Yeah, so
it's the lowest fucking ratings of all time right now.
Yeah, I think he's going to come back in a jack-in-a-box because they're implying that his ashes are inside of a jack-in-a-box. So I guess the Jack in the Box is going to explode and he's going to reappear. I don't know. That's what they've been implying.
Is he going to be dressed as a gobbledygooker and come like a chicken?
No, we don't know.
And
we don't know what he's
like a chicken.
We don't know what he's going to look like when he comes back, so we don't know. But back to the whole Roman Reigns thing, right? So we go to Elimination Chamber, right? And instead of he's the Universal Champion still, Roman, at this point. So instead of defending it in the chamber, this is what happens, right? They do a SmackDown Elimination Chamber, and whoever wins the chamber match faces Roman right away for the title. So already it's fucking bullshit. So Daniel Bryan wins. So Daniel Bryan, what? So
that's exactly what I said. Yes, that's exactly what I said. Like, okay, continue.
Well, right away, Daniel Bryan wins the chamber match, and then right away the match happens between him and Roman for the Universal title, right? It doesn't happen in the main event. It doesn't happen later. It happens right away. So 90 seconds, Roman beats Daniel Bryan. You know, it wasn't really a fucking match. It was bullshit. But then afterwards comes Edge out of nowhere, and he spears Roman, and Edge points to the WrestleMania sign, and now it's official Edge versus Roman. But It gets fucking convoluted from there. It gets worse. So now,
yeah, worse.
So now, it gets worse. So
gets convoluted.
Apparently, this pay-per-view is coming out Fastlane this Sunday. It was supposed to be a tag match between Edge and Daniel Bryan versus Roman and Jey Uso. But Daniel Bryan didn't fucking like that. So he challenged Jey Uso to a match, and if he would have won, he faces Roman for the Universal title at Fastlane. Of course, in WWE fashion, ended in a double countout. So next week, it happens again, the same shit. But this time, Daniel Bryan wins in a steel cage match against Jey Uso. So as official, Daniel Bryan will face Roman at Fastlane this Sunday for the Universal title. But
with
Jey
Uso in
like
a cage, a shark cage in the middle.
No. So what? Well, for some reason, Edge doesn't like that, and he's fucking whining like a bitch. He hates it.
Oh.
So
right. Edge is whining like a bitch.
Yeah, he's been whining. He's been like complaining. He doesn't like the fact that Daniel Bryan's
Edge
getting involved and
whining.
Not fucking. Yeah, he's whining. So
that's Vince.
This
you guys, Christian. That's all Vince. Here's what happened. They said, oh, you want to turn him heel? Okay, you'll be heel, but you will never win without help. You will never win without him being pinned. You will be the easiest. Every victory will be like it's handed to you. And Vince did that. You could see it every time. Vince has been, and he's stubborn. He's stuck on it. Right, he's not a chicken shit heel. He's a stepping shit heel. Right, he's a.
Yeah,
that's an interesting take.
Yeah, that's awful. I've
never heard that take on the show, so that's interesting.
Yeah, it sounds
believable. That's a way to protect Roman's character. That's a way to protect Roman as a babyface.
Right,
because when he comes back
to
the babyface, he can admit that he could never win without help. Whenever he was being this way, that can be his redemption story,
right?
Yeah,
to get the redemption.
So anyway, Anyway, it gets convoluted because that
crowd.
Wait, before we go, is he gonna get cheated since WrestleMania? Since they're gonna sell it out, right? Is he gonna get booed or cheered? Now that we've seen the screens and the piped-in sounds and everything, when they get a live crowd for the first time, is he gonna be booed or is he gonna be cheered?
I think it's gonna be both.
I think it'll be a unanimous boo, bro. I think it'll be one of the loudest boos we've heard in a long time.
Yeah, so that and that fails the purpose. Because the whole, let me tell you something before I say what's happening next, okay? So the whole purpose of this heel run, and this is not a lie, the whole purpose was to get Roman to get cheered and to turn babyface again.
Yeah.
That's the whole purpose
of
this heel run.
I buy that. I buy this. And it's failing.
It's failing like
but
a
that's
mother.
How you do it. That's how you have to do it. You have to be a heel first. You can't come in as a face unless you're well. And he was gone. So being a heel, he took the route that everybody takes, right? Everybody takes the come. All the heels come in when they come from training. They come in and they come in as a heel and they take that path, the easy way. They eventually get cheered and they turn face. They're just doing it with Roman. They're treating him like a heel coming up from the indies. They're treating him like a Damian Sandow. They're treating him like a Honky Tonk Man.
It's not good. It's not good because I'm not believing a guy who's a big motherfucker who's beating people that he's never needed help before needs help now. So it's not believable to me.
That's the chink in his armor. If you want to get a little more in the psychology, that's the reason why is because Roman has this chip on his shoulder and Roman's not being himself and Roman's blinded by this false sense of pride.
Oh, man, that's
and
bad.
These are the things that are driving him to be this way and to fail like this.
That's what they're going with.
He was fighting with himself.
He was fighting with himself
the whole time, and he held back, and he took the help, and he didn't want to do it, or it was his master plan the whole time. See, you could play it that way and make him be like, you know, yeah, that's what I want you to think.
Albert?
Yeah.
All he's been doing is just sitting on his ass.
Yeah, it goes into the whole point of like, okay, yeah, you're going to have to turn Roman face eventually. Is the crowd going to do it, or, I mean, is it going to be one of those things where it's like...
That's the point.
He's
going to
have...
That was the point.
He's
going to
have...
That's the plan.
He's going to have like, a change of heart, like, in some, like, big moment, like at WrestleMania or something, where there's going to be actually, I don't know if you guys know this or not, they're planning 45,000... Listen to this. They're planning to have 45,000 people in attendance at this year's WrestleMania. I don't know how they're going to do this shit, but apparently they're going to be practicing social distancing. That's about half of the capacity. So there's going to be I think the first step back where the crowd is going to have 45,000 people. So, I mean, we're all going to see this, you know, boos and cheers for McIntyre or boos and cheers for Roman Reigns. It's all going to happen live here coming soon. So, I mean, we're going to have a better understanding of it. But like I said, going back to it, the only way that Roman can turn face is if he's helping somebody that's completely over, you know, like Daniel Bryan was.
Braun Strowman is hurt at WrestleMania by shit. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know.
No. Daniel Bryan's on his way out, so it's not going to be Bryan.
He has two kids now. Daniel Bryan has two kids. And I also watched Total Bellas, I know what's going on in their lives as well.
I didn't say Daniel Bryan. No. I said somebody like that Daniel Bryan, like that white hot Daniel Bryan from like 2012. Like if there's like somebody coming up from the indies or like somebody that's just like bam out of nowhere, it's like white hot. It's like dude, like Roman. I mean, it's gonna have to have some sort of involvement with that because Roman by himself, I mean, really is over. You know what I mean?
Well, we're going to take a break.
We're going to see at WrestleMania because they've been manipulating the crowd reactions to what they want the people to think. So, how many are the WWE Universe really sheeple? Are they going to go along with what Vince McMahon tells them to do, or will we see at WrestleMania them turn on the faces, them cheer for the heels, and fuck everything up? Because it's the first time they're all going to be together, right? Crowds are snarky. It's the first time they're going to be, oh, my God, could you imagine the chance? Could you imagine that? Whatever, man. It's going to be rough.
We're going to find out how rough it's going to be. Yeah, party, party, party. But we're going to find out how rough it's going to be right after these words. On the Fatal 4-Way radio show, whatever the hell, yeah. Talk about politics, right? But you also want to talk about bears and some other newsworthy items you may have missed. Well, hey, join me, Chuck Amok, and the Unusual Suspects as we get down and dirty on the Full Tilt Boogie Show, a show where we talk about some of the craziest things going on in the Beltway and beyond. The Boogie, that's Friday night, right here on the World Generation Podcast Network. Check your local news.
Hi everybody, Albert Salazar here to tell you about our new show, Bombing Out, hosted by me and my good pal, Joe B. Woo! We're taking stand-up comedy open mics and doing them better than anybody has ever done in the history of mankind. Watch comics bomb horribly, live from the comfort of your own home. No cover charge, no drink minimums, no bouncers kicking you out for taking your pants off. Bombing Out is live Wednesdays at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time on Facebook Live, YouTube, Instagram, and of course at bombingout.com. Comics can also sign up on the website. Audio versions of the show will be available on the World Generation Podcast Network. Bombing Out, the future of stand-up today. Visit bombingout.com for more information.
Welcome back to Fatal 4-Way Radio. Sitting here with Hollywood Tony P and the Unusual Suspects, Kanye West, Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Infected, and Christian from Philly. So yeah, let's rewind the tape and push a little bit fast forward. Yeah. So keep going with something different.
Yeah, so,
we got to change that subject. It was killing my buzz, man.
Roman Reigns is killing your...
I was helping Tony.
It was killing my buzz. So
well, before we end your buzz, before we totally nuke it, let me ask, we'll get off the topic, who is going to win at WrestleMania? Who is going to leave the champion then, Roman Reigns or Edge?
Well,
how do you book it? Let's go.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. It might not even be a singles match anymore, Tony, because Vince McMahon, listen, I was explaining this before the commercial happened. I was trying to. So anyway, Vince McMahon blew up the script for WrestleMania. We're back to square one. So instead of a singles match, we might even be getting a triple threat match now between Daniel Bryan, because last week, Edge is going to fight Jey Uso.
Oh, I'm
SmackDown.
Clearly seeing a triple threat match. I'm clearly seeing a fucking triple threat match on that.
Who's the other person then? Who's the other person?
Edge,
well,
Daniel Bryan, and fucking Lane.
Oh, Daniel Bryan. Well,
yeah.
That's not terrible. That sounds like a good match, right? Daniel Bryan.
Yeah,
who does that protect? That protects Roman?
I'll tell you why they're doing it, because they fucked
so
up.
So Edge could
World
pin
Roman
Daniel Bryan. Edge could pin Daniel Bryan, and Roman doesn't take the pin, and Roman looks
there
strong.
There you go.
Somehow Edge is going to be the heel in this because, you know, he's going to screw over Daniel Bryan this Sunday.
Albert, what do you got?
I'm getting tired of these triple threat matches at WrestleMania. It seems like every fucking year or for the last, like, 10 or 15 years, it's just, like, nothing but triple threat matches. I guess because the roster's so fucking big, they have so much star power, and they want to get as much guys on as possible, especially main event guys. They just make every fucking match.
Well, they're doing it two nights again. Yeah. They're doing it in two nights again, and they're still fucking giving us, you know, the long-ass promo. It's the last 3 months of what the fuck is going on, or, you know, at least the last 6 weeks, you know, to catch you up on the promo.
Two nights again?
Then,
did they do two nights last year? Did I miss
they
that?
They did, dude.
Yes,
they did. they did two nights of
this
shit.
Okay, look at how it is, right?
Okay, I missed that. I wasn't there for I told you I haven't watched fucking anything. I got rid of my subscription. I wasn't giving him any more money.
They did two fucking nights, but I'm with Chuck on this. It's like, dude, they just fucking, dude. It's like a like 1 hour. I'm sorry, one show is like fucking 5-6 hours long, dude. Like, it's just fucking outrageous. Like, you have all these fucking like long ass promos, long ass entrances, fucking musical performances, like all this crazy shit that you don't fucking need. I mean, you can have like one music performance. And you can get a lot, like, they have, like, the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. You don't have to have fucking, like, an Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. What you can do is something similar to how the UFC does it, where it's almost like preliminary matches, where it's just, like, one after a fucking other. I would prefer if they did something like that, like a fucking 7-minute match, and then immediately after that, another five-seven match, and then another, like, just on and on and on to start the fucking day with. You know what I mean? Have all these guys, like, showcase their fucking shit. Because that's what people want to see. It's the showcase of fucking professional wrestling.
Yeah, so you're either there to watch it or you're not.
Yeah.
So yeah, well, unfortunately.
You have, like, your Drew Gulak versus Chad Gable to fucking start the show. Give them fucking 7 minutes, fucking have a winner, start the next fucking match. I mean, just go until you get into that prime time spot where you start bringing in the big stars and you start cutting your promos and having your badass entrances and all this stuff, too. But that's what they need to go back to, because they're just cramming everybody in a shitty-ass Andre the Memorial Battle Royal that fucking just sucks every year, and it just seems like a clusterfuck. They just need to, like, just let these guys have it and just, like, you know, like, back in, because I was watching an episode of WWF Superstars from 1977, dude, and literally it was, like, one fucking match went on, they went to commercial, they come back, two guys are in the ring already. They, you know, they go at it for 5 minutes, commercial, two other fucking dudes are in the goddamn ring. There's, like, no entrance music, like, nothing. It's just, like, fucking happening, you know what I mean? And I kind of dug it.
That's how we do it, and we did it in the last league that I was running. We did that because we couldn't – it was a form of necessity because a lot of the indie wrestlers that we use out here don't have their own theme music, and a lot of it we can't use because of copyright. So it just was like that. We would do match and then instantly match, commercial, match.
Yeah.
And people like that. People enjoy that. That's. But I wanted to say real quick, 5 hours, that's a lot. I did an 8-hour telethon for Headlocks for Hospice, and, you know, we had a couple breaks in between, but that's a nightmare. Even 5 hours,
that's just two days of that?
My God.
That was one show. I think both nights, I think it was like 4.5 hours each night. So it was like 8 hours of WrestleMania plus that last year.
Jeez,
it was fucking crazy.
Well, I got some bad news about that.
Local wrestling
I got
right
some
here
bad news.
Houston was, sorry, the one y'all were talking
I got
about,
some
our,
bad
our local
news.
Fed down here was fitting 10 matches into a 2-hour show. And they've just now started like stretching into where they're doing like 7 matches, I think, at the next card. But it was like a big deal, dude. Like when you go to a Loco show, it's match after match after match, back to back, and they're all bangers. And they would fit.
Yeah, we were doing 10. We were doing 10 per, like you said, the 2-hour show with the intermission at 10. But the less is more, I think. I would rather, you know, yeah, I want to see match after match, but I also want to see matches that have something. So, like, the 12, 13-minute matches are great. 7's good, but have a 13, a 7, a couple 20s, a 7, you know, something. But match after match after match. And that's what live independent wrestling, and I urge everybody out there listening to go find your local independent wrestling scene. Go watch their stuff. Go see what they're doing, because that's where the talent is. That's my opinion.
God damn right. And you're the wrestling promotion they work for now?
Well, I used to work for CSW down in Colorado Springs, but now I am currently unemployed because I had to leave. And everybody thought it was a work, too, right? Because me and the owner of the company had a rap battle. We had a whole feud. I actually had a wrestling match And, you know, I lost because he hit me over the head with a bottle, but that's okay. Has to cheat, right? They have to cheat. And so there you go. So everybody thought it was a work when I left, and they were like, oh, is this real? Is this real? And I'm like, yes, it's real.
Yeah, and of course, it's still a work. It's still very much a work. It will always be a work.
Always.
Unfortunately, next year is going to be a two-night show. It's going to go back to being a one show. So this is the last
good.
Time you're going to see a two-night show. No, it's not good. I'd rather have a two-night show that's 4 hours than 8 hours. What do you mean good? I want to sit.
Can I ask another question? You kind of glossed over him a little, and I heard him lose a lot. I take it Kevin Owens, that's all he's been doing is jobbing to the stars, right? Is that where he's at right now?
He's been
jobbing.
He's been looking like a schmuck. Like the guy, I hope that this babyface run was going to do him good, but it hasn't. It hasn't done him good. Yeah, his promos are great, but guess what? He's a fucking schmuck now. He's a losing schmuck. He's got embarrassed by Roman, and now he's doing nothing. We don't even know what he's doing at WrestleMania, and that's a fucking problem. It's not only him we don't know what they're doing. What he's doing for WrestleMania. It's everybody. This build to this WrestleMania this year, Tony, has been absolutely diabolically bad.
It was always diabolically bad. It was never good. It never.
No,
it was good. It was good for a little bit. It was good for a little bit.
No,
but
dude,
the last few years that we were doing this and Fallout and that's why I had to stop doing the radio because it sucks. We hated it. And
no, dude,
I remember. I could hear you saying. However. No, just kidding.
No, dude, this is
we're both from Pennsylvania or something.
Yes.
No, yeah, I'm from Pennsylvania, but this isn't like before, dude. This is extremely worse than before. This is horrible. These builds are terrible. I am not excited for any single match in this card. You can ask the guys right here. They will tell you how terrible this build up to this WrestleMania is. This might be the worst of them all.
What about the Intercontinental Championship? Who's doing that? What's going on there? What's that?
That's
Apollo Crews versus
Big
E.
Big E.
Big
He's
E. Has
champion.
He won? Has he been the champion or is he chasing it?
He's the champion right now.
He's the champion for now until Fastlane. He might lose it at Fastlane against Apollo Crews.
Who did he take it off of? Who did he beat for that?
Sami Zayn.
He beat Sami Zayn. Sami must not have been happy about that, I would assume.
Oh, he's
no, he's not. He's probably having a match against Baron Corbin, who's going to turn babyface.
Has his shirt finally come off, or is he still down to like three buttons? Or what?
Dude,
is he still wearing?
Dude,
a, what does he look
still,
like, man? I don't know what's going on.
Dude, he's still the King of the Ring gimmick.
He's
King
bald.
Corbin. He was King
he's
of the
bald.
Ring. When did that?
Yeah, he's King of the Ring. About a year and a half ago, he became King of the Ring.
Almost three years now.
Could go on and on, and we could like paint this picture of how bad it is. But I mean, really, I think that anybody coming in, I think that all these people that are subscribing to Peacock, if this is a new thing, and if this is like bringing new viewers to WWE or something like this, and if Fastlane is really like an event that they're booking this as a big show, a big debut on the Peacock network or whatever, then. I think that, like, a lot of people will be entertained by what they see on WWE. I think that, like, for, you know, we view it because we're longtime fans. We know the ins and outs of the business, so to speak, or whatever. But I think general fans do, too. But I think they're watching it. Like, I don't think people are looking. I don't think general fans are looking for wrestling either. I think that's the real problem is, like, people don't want to watch wrestling unless they know wrestling. So that's not being addressed.
I mean, think about this. We're going to be in a point where Baron Corbin is going to turn babyface. How low have we gotten here? How low of a spectrum have we gotten? Baron Corbin's turning babyface. They're teasing it already. He's feuding with Sami Zayn.
No.
Yeah.
So Sami Zayn turns face, right? Was he face?
No, he was face, but now he's heel. He's a conspiracy nut. That's his gimmick.
Okay.
and they've been teasing Baron Corbin turning babyface, and he's gonna feud against Sami Zayn.
I've heard it. It just seems so ridiculous. Like I'm hearing it all strung together. It makes me like my brain hurt a little because of how just utterly numb and neurotically like awful it is. And I mean, yes, there's some points that sound entertaining when you think about it, and you get to somebody lighting somebody on fire, and then whatever. I mean, it's great, but you know, I don't know. It just doesn't sound like it's gotten any really different.
The term
like it's gotten worse.
I was thinking of this earlier, but the term has always been the road to WrestleMania, and they've said it before. This has happened in the past where shit goes haywire between the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania, where like the whole thing gets shook up, and it's not that big a deal if between the Rumble and WrestleMania we get a totally different story, because that's how they've said it before, the road to WrestleMania. It's like there's twists and turns and blah, blah, you know. So just because the
what
guy
is
wants
it?
The Rumble doesn't mean it has to be a one-on-one match. A triple threat match isn't the, you know, I don't know, things like that. It's they can book creative matches.
See, I thought I read somewhere that Vince hates triple threats, and it's funny that he just keeps putting them on, because I read somewhere that nobody likes the triple threats because it's a shitty finish. Somebody's always, you know, you want something clean, but they do it anyway, right?
It's because
they're bad at any match that has multiple people, that they're bad about just the guy like laying down on the ground. Like they'll just have the extra guys lay down, and then two guys are going at it, you know. So
it's because this wasn't the original plan. He blew up the script. The script was a singles match, but because he wanted to make WrestleMania bigger, he decided to make it a triple threat. Because he knew, and this is what I told you guys. I told you that Edge was a horrible winner. I told you he shouldn't have won the Rumble, because now look what we're having right now. Look where we're at right now. Now we're having a triple threat match because the guy who I said should have won the Rumble is being involved now. Because they knew they fucked up. They knew it. They knew they fucked up.
All right. They knew they fucked up. And,
well, here's how you know if Daniel Bryan's going to get inserted into the match is if the Total Bellas, if they have a season premiere or a season finale somewhere close to WrestleMania, because they want that cross promotional money from USA. So if in fact, I don't know what's going on, but if they have their premiere close to that, you can better believe he's going to be on there. But if they don't, then there's a possibility. It's all about the money, you know.
So maybe I'm out of the loop when it comes to Total Bellas, but like, are they still WWE employees and they're still just doing that show? They don't have to do anything else?
No, but Daniel Bryan is dead.
Like
they,
Total Bellas
they might
still
be,
got a contract, like they are filming another
show. They might be ambassadors, but I don't know. Especially right now that, you know, WrestleMania is coming up. They might be ambassadors. You know, going on.
Bellas on WWE or seeing
going on.
Well, yeah,
shows,
they have an
right?
agreement, because Daniel Bryan will always go to WrestleMania, right? And so they'll be there because, you know, they'll do the show and Bryan's at WrestleMania, this and that, the show. So I don't know, but I was just thinking if USA has the connection, they're going to do it for the money. That's all.
Well,
if there's any connection,
at least they get to reuse last year's set they didn't use, but without Kairi Sane, but that's kind of shit. They had to have like a big old boat for her or something.
Yeah, but I think there's one other person that Tony P needs to know about. That's been Drew McIntyre. If you're you know that Drew McIntyre became WWE champion, right, Tony?
How long ago was that? Maybe.
That was WrestleMania 2020.
Last year, Mania.
Became WWE. Yeah, last year. And he lost the title, but then he won it back against Randy Orton in their feud. So now he's a two-time WWE champion. And guess
what? Did I
what?
Watch that?
No, I don't think I did. I don't know. But guess what? Everyone is comparing him to now the Scottish version of Roman Reigns, because this is bullshit. at this point, because by now Bobby Lashley is the WWE champion. By the way, congratulations! I don't even think you knew that, right? Did you know that Bobby Lashley became WWE champion recently?
I think, I believe I did, just because he's from Colorado.
All right. So, this is how they know that nobody gives a fuck about this match, not even the company, because they just announced it on Twitter, not even on Raw. They announced that for some unknown reason, without even qualifying, Drew McIntyre is getting a free WWE title match at WrestleMania against Bobby Lashley without earning it, or in a number one contenders match. But yet, for some reason, he's still fighting Sheamus at Fastlane, even though it's not for a number one contenders match. Whoop-de-fucking-do. And this is why I hate the fuck now. I used to like Drew McIntyre, but now he's becoming Roman Reigns 2.0, getting fucking title opportunities for no reason whatsoever, being pushed down people's throats now.
He's
and
a horrific
fucking
baby
bullshit.
Face.
He's terrible. He's a fucking terrible
baby face. I don't
like
him as a
baby
face, but I think Kevier likes him as a baby face, and I think Albert likes him as a baby face. I could be wrong. I don't like him as a baby face.
No,
I was like, how the fuck did Drew McIntyre become a baby face? I had to stop watching for a while, and then I tune in, and he's fucking
sense.
Baby face world
he's
champion.
A badass.
Like, how the fuck did this happen?
Last night was
he's
terrible.
A badass. He's
last
just a big
night,
dude. He's just like, yeah, I'm gonna whoop someone's ass. Drew.
No, I don't care.
He's got
Wait,
a
tell us about it. Tell us about it. So I think we have.
Well, let me tell you this. How many Twitter followers do they have? Because you knocked that, but WWE Raw always trends number one. I'm on Twitter now because Yahoo got rid of the comments. But I'm on Twitter now, Hollywood Tony P. You can find me on Twitter. But it's always trending on SmackDown and Raw, whatever. It's always trending number one.
The bitches have banned me.
Yeah.
What, Twitter has banned you?
No, I hear this whole time I thought that fucking Yahoo had banned me.
Those,
I'm just not
trending number one.
They fucking took off the comments. I'm like, what the fuck, man? These sons of bitches.
You got banned by
the
Yahoo?
Reason why it's trending number one every time. Yeah. Every time it's trending number one, it's probably because their employees are fucking doing it. They have Twitter too, the employees. They have fucking Twitter.
It's far-reaching, man. You don't know the power of the Twitter. I mean, it can cause insurrection. So I mean, it's good. It can help try to overthrow countries. So you know, it has a broad range.
Yeah, it can adjust the stock. It can do anything.
So is Dolph Ziggler with Drew McIntyre now? Dolph Ziggler's back? Or
No.
Dolph Ziggler is the SmackDown champion with Robert Roode, and it's fucking pointless. He's still a boring fuck. Nobody cares.
they're the tag champions?
Yeah, for SmackDown, but nobody cares because they're barely on TV.
Who are the Raw Tag Team Champions?
The New Day now. And they're facing AJ Styles and a big security guard. I don't know, almost. His minion.
Why?
His giant
Why
minion,
is AJ Styles not wrestling for the title or something?
Because I don't know why.
He seems
why.
Like a name that I would put higher up than Tag Team Champion.
They're making shit up as they go, Tony. I told you that they blew up the script. All right, this match was just made last night on Raw, randomly.
I was just meaning the way they're treating the people, because it doesn't sound like they're treating certain people good who should be. Because I can see a better direction of what they should have done, but they're not doing. And there's a lot of things that are troubling in their plans, because it just shows how off kilter this ship is, and the iceberg. I think it already hit the iceberg, because AEW apparently is doing really well. Everybody I know, and I'm Chris Jericho is I'm on his Twitter. I'm his Twitter friend, so and my friends go to his cruise. So yeah, I don't know. It just seems like the ship's sinking, or it's off track and headed for an iceberg.
It's a fucking downgrade, man. Last year AJ Styles went from facing Undertaker at WrestleMania to fucking.
I saw that match. I remember. I saw that.
That's a fucking.
I hear you guys talking about earlier. Someone was saying it's all about the money. It's all about the money. Indeed, it is all about the fucking money. So nobody should be surprised that once these fuckers get these big-ass contracts, they start having to fucking be jobbers like they are. Look at Kevin Owens. He signed a contract. Now, who else were we talking about just now? AJ Styles recently signed a contract. This is what happens. They sign these big contracts, and then they can use them however the fuck they want because they know that in an instant, they can just bring him back and put him as a top guy whenever the fuck they pick and choose. Because Braun Strowman
is a perfect example of that.
Because they're so incongruent with their fucking storylines to begin with that it doesn't fucking matter. It doesn't matter what you think about it. It doesn't matter what I fucking think about it. They don't give a fuck. As long as they're still putting those asses in the fucking seats, as long as there's always going to be new people watching the shit. And even if it's not as many as they had, and even if the number is still falling, they're still fucking making a shitload of money. So until they make money, they will continue to do this shit. That's just the way it is. It's business.
Yeah.
But I digress.
So I'm surprised you haven't asked about Bayley, Tony, because did you know that Bayley turned heel?
I think I did. I think I knew that. But I was going to go back to you said that Braun Strowman – was a clown. You're talking about the former tag team champion with the Great Nicholas, and I mean, you know, why would they treat him such?
He's a clown because they literally poured slime.
Because
he
will be in a baby diaper. At least Big Show went to AEW. At least Big Show jumped. Like I said, I know a little about AEW. Big Show jumped over, which is nice.
Yeah, he doesn't do that. So Braun Strowman's a fucking schmuck. Wow.
He's always been. They booked him that way because he's a giant, right? Didn't he get garbage can or something? Something happened, something stupid. There was a whole bunch of stupid shit that happened to him, right? I mean,
he was picking up cars and forklifts and all kinds of shit.
That's what got him over with the crowd. He was
over the cliff.
He did something unpredictable that got people to like him. Now he's getting covered by Nickelodeon fucking slime on fucking Monday Night Raw and looking like a fucking clown.
But the Kids' Choice Awards were a thing. It's a tie-in. It's a money thing. Minister said it right.
Yeah.
Nickelodeon is owned by the same people who own USA, the same people who own NBC, the same people own the same things, and they want a piece of everything. A little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of Monica in my
eye. Yeah, exactly.
So going back to Bayley, right? I think you will find this interesting that she turned heel, and she's fucking terrible as the heel. Minister likes her as a heel. I don't know why, but she's more immature as a heel than she was a babyface. I'm sorry to say this. Turning heel, you're supposed to be fucking edgy. She has not done anything edgy
at all. You're supposed to be.
Also,
now you're laying down rules. You know what you sound? You sound like a fucking communist with this shit.
Minister. You know what my father Lou from Brooklyn calls Bayley, right? Mr. Magoo?
What?
Yeah.
Yes, Mr. Magoo.
Yeah, I remember.
Lou is good. We should get him. I'll bring him on the party cast. I'll call him. We'll call him at like 9 at night. Get on the party cast.
Nice. A little bit of brandy. Yeah, a little bit of the bubbly.
Well, he still watches. He's still religious because he doesn't know how to get it off his DVR. He knows how to record it. It's been recording because I set it up. But he doesn't know how to stop it, so he's always going to have it. So he still watches. Didn't we do that show last? Was it last year or 2 years ago? He did the WrestleMania review.
Yeah, and it was great. And of course, you can go check out Talking with Lou. Talking Wrestling with Lou. Yes, on the archives of the World Generation Podcast Network. whenever you want. Christian, go do that. You'll like it.
Yeah, I will do that. You know that I heard Albert that he hates triple threat matches. So Albert, I'm sorry to say this, but there's a rumor going around that the women's championship match between Sasha Banks and Belair might be a triple threat match between Bayley and them.
Oh, I already knew it, man. And you know what? Like, of course. I mean, it's like one of those things where they want to squeeze as many of these stars in as possible, and these like fucking triple threat matches.
Let me tell you something.
When we were running shows at 10 matches a show, maybe one would be a triple threat. But you don't need to do that if you book properly. If you have the singles matches and the tag matches that drive the show. Tag team wrestling is what drives shows. It's the action. It's where the speed picks up. You know, you can tell a story without having to cram everybody in a triple threat. First of all, it becomes a no-holds-barred, right? So it adds another level that doesn't need to be there. And second, like one of your, whoever said it, they did. Well, the other person just lays on the outside for an hour and a half. You know?
Yeah.
And then there's the case with the Asuka versus Charlotte match at WrestleMania. They might be a triple threat match there too. So.
Wait, they're having another match?
Yes, these two girls are having another match again at WrestleMania. Again. They
Well, who won last time? It was last time was Asuka, right? No, Charlotte won.
Yeah, Charlotte won, and she's going to win again.
No, she's going to lose.
No, Asuka's the champion, who is the worst champion ever, I might add. And Charlotte's the challenger. She's going to win again.
No, whatever, Asuka's going to win.
No.
I'm sorry, but record has to go 1-1. You can't give up 2-0. You can never go 2-0 over her. You have to have one of them win. And if Asuka's the champion, then she's going to beat Charlotte at WrestleMania.
No, they don't give a fuck about Asuka, man. They only give about Charlotte. She's going to win.
But you're looking down term. Each of them has a victory. Then you can do later on a third match where they both say, I have one victory over you. I beat you. Doesn't matter who's champion. In 2 years, they can pull up the storyline, and it's a perfectly applicable WrestleMania event. So, again, money, business.
Charlotte already has two wins against her. She beat her at a random SmackDown to win the SmackDown title. So it's already two against
her. So at WrestleMania, so that's even better then. Then Asuka's got to win.
No, she's not going to win because Charlotte's going to face Asuka's heel. They're going to turn Asuka's heel for WrestleMania.
Going back to what I was saying earlier, man, I don't really hate triple threat matches. It's just the fact that they just seem to kind of throw them in there randomly to kind of squeeze everybody in, you know what I mean, during WrestleMania time. So it's not really like, you know, I dislike them. It's more or less the fact that I just think they're kind of overdone at WrestleMania especially. And they could be done right if done correctly, you know, without having, like Tony said, just somebody, laying on the side of the ring for like 15 minutes before coming in because it just looks kind of unrealistic. But if done correctly, a triple threat match can be very enjoyable.
Well, that's why indie wrestling triple threat matches are great, because they only have a set number of time, right? They want to get in front of the crowd to sell their merch, and there's not a lot of rest spots because it's quicker, it's faster paced. So those triple threats do work when you have the people who do it. But again, like you said, you put a big guy in one of those, they're going to be on the outside for half the match.
Yeah.
Support indie wrestling. Go find your local indie wrestling league. Go watch the show. They're coming back. Wrestling's coming back. Buy a ticket. These wrestlers, you know how much they make? Do you guys want to know how much an independent wrestler out here makes right now? At every show we do, or they did,
$25. Yeah. That's the going rate. It's fucking shit. And that's what it is. Yeah, if there's any left.
What did you say, Albert?
Yeah.
What? Sorry.
Did you say something?
I said a hot dog and a handshake, man. It's like, you know, they're trying to pay for at least a little bit of their gas money to kind of get in front of a crowd for a little bit. But yes, I understand the plight of the DIY. I've been, Yeah, I know what it's like to drive 600 miles and then make $40 for a crowd of nobody. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things, you know. And yeah, man,
it's your dues. Those are dues, man. You gotta pay them. And unfortunately, you know, people, but they do recognize that, right? You know, I mean, and eventually, like I said, there's some people from Colorado right now. Like Abaddon is on AEW. Thunder Rosa has signed to wherever she's going. You know, there's a lot of good talent coming up, and everybody, you know, indie wrestling is great because we have death matches here. It's just, you know, you don't.
We had a cool one here last time. It was so fucking wicked badass, man. I couldn't tell
you
who was in it, but it was fucking killer.
You said you tried to get Thunder on Thunder Rosa on an independent match, and that she wasn't able to do it. I want to go back to that. That's a little bit of an interesting scoop there that I don't think anybody's really covering.
Oh, yeah, it's inside information, but maybe I should have said, I don't know, am I not supposed to? Oops. But, yeah, you can't book her. She's signed.
I think it's interesting because, you know, she's worked with AEW and she's worked with NWA, and they're, like I said, they're about to debut their show next week, and they've shown her in the highlights for it. So it makes me think that we'll see her on that show, but they have a working relationship, so we'll probably see her on both. She's more than likely got a working relationship contract with both companies.
Well, or more than likely, they're working with each other, right? Because AEW is working with everybody but WWE.
Yeah.
Right? AEW is working with every other TNA, right? I heard that they did the pay per view with Kenny Omega was on TNA or Impact or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah, yeah.
He still goes on Impact, which, you know, this crossover stinks. It stinks. Mostly the crossovering is just the fucking Good Brothers showing up in the two shows. That's mostly it. And Matt Hardy, but that's it.
Whatever happened to GFW? Remember Global Force? Whatever happened to that? What did Jeff Jarrett do? Where's he?
That was a beautiful thing. That was a scam.
That was a farce. That was awful.
No, listen.
But you know what? The whole thing behind that was
Jeff Jarrett sold his first company. He started TNA, was able to get out of the company, sold it. Then he started another company and sold it to the company that he sold the first time.
True cowboy shit.
There's a little conspiracy going on about that too, because they're saying that that Global Force Wrestling was TNA the whole time. And they were just going to try to rebrand. You know how they rebranded as Impact? That it was like supposed to be like a completely different company, because at the time TNA had a lot of backlash with of course Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff and all those guys coming in, and then their shit storylines, and then their shit production value, and losing their TV, losing their Spike TV deal. All this stuff. So at the time that Global Force started, TNA had a bunch of negative press and a bunch of negative things going on in the internet wrestling community. So supposedly the theory was that Jeff Jarrett was just going to start another company that would eventually just take over TNA and try to redo it a little bit better, kind of like act as a rebranding. And eventually that rebranding just fell on Impact Wrestling. So that's kind of what it is now. Is just Impact Wrestling.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode, guys. We got to fucking start closing out.
Good place to end.
Oh, my gosh. What a freaking show. So go ahead and take yourselves out. You guys pick and choose. All right.
Yeah, I'll go first. So, good night to everybody. Thanks for listening in to Fatal 4E Radio. Remember, this Sunday is Fast Lane, and I hope I'll do a coverage of Fast Lane in the pay-per-view. I want to do a show this Sunday of Fast Lane called the Slow Lane Fatal 4E Radio edition, because this pay-per-view is going to be absolute fucking garbage. So until then, good night, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, Christian from Philly.
Swami. Swami. Is that his nickname? Is that his nickname now, the Swami, or did you just...
Yeah. I just started calling him the Swami. because he always says, you know, that he knows what's happening. So it's just one of the deals I attached to. Just like the peacemaker, Kanye West. He's always trying to make the peace here.
Yeah. So
I call him the peacemaker. Yeah.
Man, so definitely tune in on Peacock. Everybody, don't forget to set your clocks forward 1 hour to Peacock.
Wait a minute.
The WWE Network's going to stop watching and, like, going to stop working in, like, 2 days. So change over if you haven't already. And also,
I think
the time change is a horrible idea, and we need to move past this and just let everybody just sleep like normal people. And then other than that, High Novellas, Local Wrestling, check that out. Check out Local Wrestling on Facebook and Instagram and everywhere. They're all YouTube, definitely.
Good shit. I've been
coming up
on the
27th next Saturday. So I think next Tuesday we'll kind of have like a little hype segment for Local Wrestling, because I'm excited. I got my tickets. Get yours. And check us out online at Pro Wrestling Planet and all that stuff, and we'll see you next week. Yeah.
Right on, Kevin. Happy birthday. Hey, Hollywood. Close yourself out, Hollywood.
Close myself out. Well, Minister, it's been great to come back. Thank you for having me. Apparently things are the same ridiculous nonsense as always has been. I heard the babies laughing, so I'm good with that. And, you know, we will be coming back with probably the greatest talk show, I'm thinking. Me and Mark have been talking about that. I had my whole presidential run. I'm glad to be here. And then we're going to be doing the East Coast Party Cast.
Like
over
it.
There. We don't know when, but Tony P and Javi C, Jay Cruz, and we're going to talk about anything. We'll talk about wrestling, I guess, but mostly independent wrestling, because like I said, that's really where it's at. And any scoop, that any information that you might have gotten, and anybody listening out there, I got this from a source that I'm 90%, but I don't know. I'm not going to give you the source, and you didn't hear it from me. Anyway,
ladies,
Minister, thank you so much for having me,
right,
and we'll get you a good commercial for the show when it comes out.
Sounds great, ladies and gentlemen, Hollywood. Yeah, Hollywood, Tony. It's always fun to talk with someone that, who, you know, hasn't watched in a while. Just to get their raw reaction of, you know, the nonsense as it's happening. But, you know, as Kevier says, it can be very entertaining. And it's still entertaining, especially if you don't know everything that's going on and all the ins and outs. You know, if you tune in, selective tuning when it's time to tune in, I find it can be very entertaining. Albert Inspected, close yourself out, my friend.
Well, everybody, thanks for the great fucking show. Thanks for allowing me to host last week. Minister,
oh, man, thank you for hosting.
I have no fucking idea how you do this every week.
Just
let you know. But you know what? Yeah, thanks for having us on. A good show. Everybody stay masked up. Stay safe. Enjoy some wrestling. And if you're interested in some solar panels for your house, don't forget to visit solartexasnow.com. You don't even have to live in Texas. Just visit solartexasnow.com. Thank you very much for having me, and we'll see you assholes next week. Only here.
Ladies and gentlemen, Albert Inspected. Right on. And so, yeah, we will be back next week. I'm thinking that we will do a show Sunday night, but we shall see. We did not make any predictions, and we don't have to. But we will be back next week for sure. And also, I want you to check out Staunch TV. They've got some excellent brand-new content that you have to go over there and check it out on YouTube. So check that out. Alex Staunch has been out of town, and he's come up with some new videos, and you've got to go check them out. So, yeah, until next time. We'll see you next week on Fatal 4-Way Radio. Keep it real, keep it heel, and keep it... This is motherfuckers! Peace!
presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.